Hi there, I'm Jay Christian Adams. I'm president of the Public Interest Legal Foundation. We're the nation's only public interest law firm dedicated exclusively to election integrity. Thank you for tuning into this podcast. We talk about voting issues, election issues, and what's happening around the country relating to elections. And boy, is there a lot happening. And just recently, we had a huge bill in Congress die that would have taken over federal elections. H.R. 1 was what it's called. You may have heard about it, talked on other shows, other times. But what it was an absolute monster Leviathan bill that was designed to strip states of all their authority to run their own elections. And I'll tell you what, it was close to passing. It was close to passing. And we're going to talk about that today in the podcast. We're also going to talk about what's next. And if you thought H.R. 1 was bad, what's next might be worse. So, H.R. 1, what did it do? It was the Democrats' dream plan to take over state elections by doing things like this. Banning voter ID. Mandating that ballots come in for 10 days by mail after an election. So we wouldn't know who won the election probably till Thanksgiving dinner or later. It would have done things like mandate that states have same-day registration, which, if you don't know what that means, it's because you live in a state where you can't just walk into the polling place and announce that you're there and vote. You actually have to get registered ahead of time in most places. This bill would have done away with that. Oh, and by the way, that made a difference in the Minnesota Senate race that elected Al Franken, because felons who weren't allowed to vote in Minnesota went in to vote with same-day registration and just announced they were there to vote, voted for Al Franken, and was the margin of victory for Al Franken, illegal felon votes from same-day registration. So that gives you a taste of why the Democrats in Congress were so anxious to pass H.R. 1. The other thing it would have done, and this is probably the most important, is it would have completely rearranged the elections in the country from being decentralized, run by the states, decided on by state legislatures, to being run essentially by the federal government, by having federal bureaucrats set all the standards for state elections. Any time that you would move a polling place from a school gym to a school cafeteria, federal bureaucrats would have to approve it before that could take effect. Now, I used to work in the Justice Department. I used to work in the voting section of the Justice Department. I was an attorney there. I saw what happened firsthand when federal bureaucrats get to make these decisions. When they get to decide all aspects of state elections, bad things happen. There's a reason that states are given the power to run their own elections in the Constitution. And that is that the founders knew that power should never be placed in one central authority because bad things happen. Elections are decentralized because power should be closest to the people and it protects individual liberty. It protects individual liberty because you are closer to your election officials than federal executive branch bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. Now, as I said earlier, H.R. 1 died. It died because Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia, Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona, believe in the filibuster. They believe in the filibuster no matter if they're in the majority or in the minority. And so because of that, the Democrats could not get the votes needed to advance these very, very bad ideas. All of the Republicans were against it. And incidentally, Joe Manchin was against the federal takeover in H.R. 1. He said that nationalizing elections in this environment would create anarchy. And he's right. People don't want Washington, D.C. running their elections. Which takes me next to something everybody should be concerned about, and that's the successor to H.R. 1. It's called H.R. 4. H.R. 4 is H.R. 1 with like a different hat on. It's H.R. 1 with a few things taken off, but the worst parts that remain. Let's talk about what that is. H.R. 4 is this alleged Joe Manchin compromise where voter ID would be allowed because H.R. 1 would ban it. But the compromise is that Washington, D.C. bureaucrats, once again, would be micromanaging state elections, would be approving or rejecting every single change in covered states before they could take effect. Now, let's give you some sense of what I mean by that. When I was at the Justice Department, the town of North South Carolina, I know that's confusing, it's North in South Carolina, wanted to annex one single residential piece of property. The two people who lived there wanted city sewer, they wanted city water, they wanted city cable. They couldn't get it unless they were in the city. Now you might say, what does that have to do with elections? Well, under H.R. 4's plan, that annexation of them into the city, get this, would have to be approved by the Justice Department, because those two new voters would be added to the North voting population. The Justice Department bureaucrats had to approve it. And guess what? They rejected it. It's a true story. They rejected the annexation in the town of North because the two individuals being annexed were white and would have diluted black voting strength in the town. It is probably around 300 or 400 people. So the addition of those two people would have had a discriminatory impact on the black voting population in the town of North. So the bureaucrats of the Justice Department rejected it. That's not the worst example. The bureaucrats of the Justice Department under Eric Holder and Janet Reno were sanctioned millions of dollars, millions, by courts for having partisan interests, for taking the side of the ACLU, the NAACP, by abusing their power in this process of preclearance. Now, preclearance was in effect in 1965 through 2013 because some states in 1965 kept enacting new rules to make it harder for African Americans to vote. And at the time, it was necessary in 1965. But the Supreme Court noted that times change. And in fact, as I've written, My Fair Lady was the best picture in 1965. The number one song in the country was Chubby Checker's The Twist, okay? It was a very long time ago. We hadn't even heard of anything called Star Trek in 1965. Those conditions in 1965 were not the same as today, and that's why the Supreme Court said, you can't keep doing this. You can't have preclearance power over states. So here we are, everything old is new again. It's 2021. And the Democrats in Congress want to pass H.R. 4, which would renew and revive this preclearance power. So is it going to pass or not? Time will tell. One thing is for sure, all of the resources poured into the fight to stop H.R. 1 are going to have to go back in to stop H.R. 4. Otherwise, you're going to see a federal takeover of elections that will result in abuse of power. I'll leave you with one last example. This is the town of Kinston, North Carolina. In about 2009, the majority black population of Kinston voted in a referendum to get rid of partisan elections for town council. So you no longer have Democrat versus Republican running for town council. It's just going to be the people you vote for, the names, not the parties. When that change was made, guess what had to happen? It had to be submitted to the Justice Department for preclearance. The Justice Department blocked that change to nonpartisan elections because, as they said, if you do that, African Americans will not know for whom to vote if the word Democrat is not on the ballot. And so they prevented that from happening. So what I want to make sure everyone understands and everyone should think about is, do we want elections run out of Washington, D.C., where results are radical, where people detached from your values will be making decisions? Or do we want power closest to the people? And I think most Americans overwhelmingly believe that power should be closest to the people. So with that, thank you for tuning into this podcast. I think that is about all the time we have today. I'm sure that we will do this again. And make sure, if you'd like to learn more, to go to publicinterestlegal.org. We are litigating regularly on the issue of election integrity. We're fighting for election integrity. You will find all sorts of interesting information there, both about H.R. 1 and H.R. 4, but a lot of things you never thought of. I'll leave you with this. There's a guy there named Rashawn Slade. You will find at the Public Interest Legal Foundation in Pennsylvania litigation website. It's a very interesting story. We'll talk about it next time. He got registered to vote seven times. So anyone who tells you that the election system does not have problems, ask them about Rashawn Slade. We'll be with you next time. Thank you very much for tuning in. I'm J. Christian Adams.